Okay, we're going to start six lines up on the bottom of Samachimon Bet. Says, Yativ Rav Nachman, Ve'ula, Ve'avimei Bar Papi, Ve'yativ Rav Bechir Ba'ami Gabayu, Ve'yaz Ve'vikami Ba'ilu. And they were sitting there, and then the question came up amongst them. So the Rabbeinu Tam points out in other places, why don't they list everybody together? It has three of the individuals that are listed here, and then Rav Bechir Ba'ami, who's listed separately. So Rabbeinu Tam has a principle, whenever that person who is listed individually away from the others, means that person is going to be adding something here, or bringing a chiddush to the table. But we're going to read the questions that are brought up in this group. There are three questions that we're going to see here that are brought up in the group. And in all of them, it's Rav Nachman, actually, who speaks up, and not Rabbi Chia Bar Ami. So here, Tosus points out that there's actually a fourth circumstance or a fourth issue that was brought up with that, with this group of individuals. It's just not brought here, it's brought in the Gemara and Ketubot. And over there, that's where Rabbi Chia Bar Ami gives a chiddush, and that's why he's noted separately over here. So that fourth case is the case that they're referencing, but we don't have here in our Gemara, because it's not Shach to our Gemara, it's Shach to the Sugyot and Ketubot. So the first question that came up with them is, Sachroli Shbor B'Yayin Nesech Mahu. We hired him to break barrels of Yayin Nesech. What's the din? Well, what do you mean, what's the din? Mi Amrinan Kevin Derotze B'Kiyum O Asur. Now, this individual wants this Yayin Nesech to survive, because that's how he's going to get paid. You know, if the Yayin Nesech gets broken or lost in the interim period, he's not going to get his money. He's not going to be able to work. So until he gets there to break it, he wants the Yayin Nesech to stick around. Oduma, kol im ute tifla shepardami. Now, so maybe that when we talk about Yayin Nesech, that's kol im ute tifla shepardami. That when it comes to exclude any time that the intent is destruction, the intent is to get rid of it. I mean, in that instance, we don't consider that to be a kiyum. I mean, if the intent is, to destroy it, that is sufficient. So, Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Ishbor, but tavo alav bracha. That go ahead, he should break the barrels and he get a bracha. I mean, there's no problem with doing this. So, let's bring a proof to this. Ein odrim, right? Rashi says chufrim, right? Either to hoe or to dig into the ground. Ein odrim imaiv kochavim bikilayim. One cannot participate with a non-Jew in the digging around of kilayim. Aval okrimimo. You can uproot kilayim with him. Yidei l'mute et atifla. In order to remove that which is unwanted, that which we do not want its existence to persist, there you can participate in the okrim. So a couple of things that come out from here. One very important, two tosfotim in a row, which is ein ovdei chavim. The bottom of the previous Amud, which Eino Jim Avichamim B'Kilayim. Rav Rabbeinu Tam Dachak Lavi Rayot T'Kilayim V'Orla No'agim B'Shel Ovdei Chavim. There is such a thing as Kilayim and Orla by non-Jews. V'Kulan D'Chuyot. All the Rayot he brings are no good. Achein Rayak Dolo Evi Rabbeinu Tam Yerushalmi. And then he says at the end of this Tosu, Shemina Miha T'Orla V'Kilay Yakeim V'Chadash No'agim B'Shel Ovdei Chavim Afilu B'Chutz Laretz Shenoeg Bat Chadash. Right, and even in Chutz La'aretz where there is Chadash, that should be applied there. So that's the first thing Tosa says. The second thing Tosa says is, Eino dream et dechavim kilayim in the phrase hai kilaya kerem. Says, don't think that we're talking about kilayim here, it's kilaya kerem. Alavadai bi kilay zraim, we're dealing with kilay zraim, but not kilaya kerem. Ve'ukach en lavi raya mikan de kilayim nuagim b'shov dechavim, to kochach ba'aretz mairi. Here we're certainly talking about an Eretz Yisrael. So this Tosfos comes back. In the previous Tosfos, he suggests, listen, there's a problem in Kilay Kerem, there's a problem in Chadash, there's a problem in Orla, in Chutz Laretz, because that's what we're talking about here in Chutz Laretz. So the second Tosfos says, wait a minute, the word here, Kilayim, is not talking about Kilay Kerem. But if we're not talking about Kilay Kerem, then we're talking about Kilay Zraim. Kilay Zraim is only problematic inside of Eretz Yisrael. Well, that might be because of the other factor, which is that maybe in Kinyan the Goy Eretz Yisrael left Ki Amidei Kedushata. The Goy can't get rid of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. So the problem here might be unique to the Aretz, unique to the fact that the Goy can't get rid of Kedushat Aretz, and that's why this whole story is. So maybe in the end you can't prove what we thought before. Before we were ready to Aser, even the Kilay Kerem, the Chadash, and the Orla of a Goy. But if you read the Kilayim here, not to be Kilay Kerem, but to be Kilay Zraim, then you have to be talking about Eretz Yisrael. Talking about Eretz Yisrael, then you have a different factor that might be involved. So it's an important flow here, this Tosfos, about whether this does have application to a goy or not, whether Kilai, Kerem, Orla, and Chadash have application by a goy or don't have application by a goy. Right now, the Gemara says, so let's say that that's a proof. Savrua, the Gemara says, let us suggest, Hamani, who's the author of this position over here? It's Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Hamikayim, Bikilayim, Loke. Not only if someone who plants and works Kilayim is Chayav, but even someone who simply maintains Kilayim, they are Chayav. The Tanya of a Bright, Aminachesh, someone who's weeding, or Amechapeh, covers over the roots. Bikilayim loke. Over there, that's a maase. Why is it a maase? So Rashi points out that they are doing. What's the whole point of zoreya? Zorakolo zoreya is let's smuchei pere. It's to cause something to grow. Over here, you're doing exactly that. By being menachesh, if you are weeding out, or you mechape, you cover over the roots, you're causing something to grow. When you cause them to grow better, that's enough to be loke in terms of zriat kilayim. But Rikiva Omer, afa mikayim. Rikiva says, even if you just sustain the kilayim, you are chayav. Rashi over here says, what does it mean to sustain the kilayim? That he says, he builds a fence around them. They build some sort of border or fence around them in order to ensure that they can stay there. He shows his desire through a maaseh that he wants to keep them. Tosfos jumps and says, Rashi says that, and he's right. You know why he's right? Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, we know in other places, that Rabbi Akiva believes, Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, Ein Lokin Alav. So Lav Shein Maaseh, you can't have it be that it's, he says here, Menachesh Machape Beklaim Lokeh, Rabbi Akiva Merach Mekayim. So Tosa says, it must be that Rashi is right, that he did some sort of Maaseh in order to be Shomer, or to be Mekayim the Kilayim. Because if he's simply doing a Yedei Machshava, he says, I want these Kilayim to stay, then there's a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. In the end, Tosfos brings down, Yesh Lomar, Yomo Kol Makom Machshavato Mishavid Le Maaseh. Kim Shu Ose Maaseh, Lebasov Shu Okra. It's very interesting. Tosfos says, what does he do in the end? He's going to come and he's going to uproot the Kilayim, which we're going to see in a second. So here, Tosfos wants to suggest that the uprooting of the Kilayim will be the Maaseh. So if he thinks in his mind he wants to keep the Kilayim around, even though he's only keeping it in order to uproot it later, the same story that we had before, which is that he's getting paid to uproot the Kilayim. So he's getting paid to uproot the Kilayim. The Gemara has a question. Well, maybe that should be problematic, that he's keeping it around. So what do you mean it's a problem to keep it around? We just said that Rabbi Akiva requires a maaseh. There's no maaseh here. You know what? He says, Tosfos says that the maaseh of Akira, we're going to assign that maaseh to the machshava of keeping it until that point, which is amazing. You see the Chiddush in Tosfos? That your maaseh is actually the Akirat HaKilayim, but that's enough of a maaseh to give you malkut from the Mekayim until that point in time. It's an amazing Chiddush in Tosfos. That'd be enough of a maaseh. Because he wants the Ayin Nesek to stay
around. He doesn't do anything either. This way, still until he comes to fix it. He did, but he's interested in it.
Here, we're not asking about Loka. They were worrying about if he's ever... So there you don't have Malkut. Here you have Malkut, which introduces the other problem. Although, Rav Akiva Eger says something along your lines, which is Rav Akiva Eger says, I don't understand Tosfos' issue. There's a difference. You can be violated in Issa Doraisa without having to be Loket. I mean, that it could be that the Mekayim over here is Mekayim, you violate the Issa Doraisa just by simply wanting it to stay around. It may not be Loket for that unless you have a Maaseh. I mean, that you could separate the two things. That if you want Loket, yeah, you need a Maaseh. But when you're not Loket, then you could be over the Issa Doraisa. I mean, there could be an Issa Doraisa without Loket. Lav Shebein Bo Maaseh doesn't mean there's no Issa Doraisa. It just means you don't get Malkut for it. So that's how he says you could explain this. Why does Tosfos have to go that far? You could just say that he wants to be Mekayim the Kilayim. That is that he wants it to stay around. In fact, he wants it to stay around. He violates Nisa Doraisa. Forget about the Loket part of it. Just the fact that he's Mekayim, it should be enough. And why do you have to go through this whole somersault to make it work with the fact that he's okay? That's the Maaseh. Maybe you don't need that at all. So that's Rabbi Akiva's Eger's question. Sarachion on the Tosfos, why he goes through these acrobatics to make it work that way. All right, back to our Gemara. So Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Akiva. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position? Amar Kra, Sadcha lo tizra kilayim. So that is, it sounds like your field, you may not plant kilayim, tizra. In the elo zoreya, mikayim minayin. Tamalomar lo kilayim. The pasuk has in it two actually forms of kilayim. Sadchalo tizra kilayim, but in that same pasuk is also b'mtachalo tibriya kilayim. What ends up happening is the revia, the kilayim, the word kilayim from revia, the Rabbi Akiva puts together with sadchalo tizra. So it says, "V'mtuchalo tibriya kilayim," and then it says, "Sadchalo tizra kilayim." So that kilayim from the previous statement, he connects to Sadchalo. So then Eliezer Rebbe Kaimi Nine Tamalom Lo Kilaim, that you can't have Kilaim there. So that connection between the two times that the Kilaim are mentioned in the Pasuk, he joins the two and therefore says not only is it Sadchalo Lo Tizra Kilaim, but also Kilaim Lo Tizra Lo, Sadchalo, that you can't have Kilaim in your Sadet at all. So that's the way Rabbi Kiva reads it. I mean, he reparses the Pasuk. Even though that's not the natural break of the Pasuk, he reparses that way because of the fact, as Rashi points out, that it didn't have to write it in this manner. That
Kilaim would have been written only once.
Right, you only have to write it once, or you can write it in a different order. The fact that it juxtaposed the Kilaim with the Sadchalo, that's why he learns it in this way. So based on that, so what we're going to suggest over here, Zerei Mikayim, Inayin Tamalom, Elo Kilaim, V'ilu Lemutei Tifla Shari. May that the Gemara doesn't say, come along and say, what's the limud? The limud is that you can't even keep it around to destroy it. That doesn't want to say, what does it exclude? It excludes a case where he's Mekayim the Kilayim. If you want to tell me the biggest Kiddush would be that he leave round in order to destroy it. The fact that that's not what they come to include, that means that that's Mutar. So the Gemara says, well, how many Uzi off to this position the Rabbanon here? So the Gemara says, he Rabbanon, Ma'iria Okri. What do you have to worry about Okrim him as? Afilu kiyume, nami shapir dami. What do you mean, Okrim? What are we discussing over here about Okrim that you can't uproot it? According to the Rabbanan, you can even leave it around. You don't have to destroy Kilaim. If you Mekayim Kilaim, you're not in violation according to the Rabbanan. So what was the Chiddush of the Braisa to say you can't be Oderim Neuchamim, but you can be Okerimo? No, say you can be Mekayim it. Why do you have to say Okerimo? Or it says, no, Hachuk my skin and come to Ovid Bechinam. Oh, the problem here is he's doing it for free. He's not getting paid to do it, but rather, he is not getting paid at all. What's the problem with that? Rabbi Yehuda, from the beginning of the Masechta, if we can remember that far back, back on Daf Chaf, it says, Damar, lo techaneim, that you're not allowed to, liten lahem matnat chinam asur. To do anything for free for the goy is asur. So Rabbi Yehuda, nishal Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yehuda will learn to Rabbi Akiva. Lava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, asur liten lahem matnat chinam. Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to give them a free gift. Nevertheless, avalimute tifla shapir dami. But in order to remove kilayim, that we don't worry about. I mean, you're permitted to remove kilayim even though if you do it for free. So that's what we see from this breita that is from Rabbi Yehuda. The problem you would have thought is that he's doing it for free. One comes to breita to teach you the chiddush. Avalokrimimo, you're allowed to do it even for free. So Rabbi Yehuda will learn to Rabbi Akiva, so too. So the Rabbi Akiva nami, afgal dar Rabbi Akiva mekayim bikalayim loke, the mutei tifla, shapir dami, v'lutulom ide. You have no more questions on it. That's the halacha. So we learn from here that you see, or this proves what Rav Nachman said before by the Yayin Nesech, that even though if you're the opinion that in general one may not be mekayim an item, nevertheless, when it comes to the fact that you're mekayim it in order to destroy it, that we don't consider to be a kiyum and don't consider that to be a violation. The fact that we see from Rabbi Yehuda's position is that you're not allowed to give away free services to the goy. Nevertheless, when it comes to uprooting kilayim, we allow you to give those free services. We don't consider that to be a problem, matnat chinam. So too, we'll say the same thing by Rabbi Akiva, just by Rabbi Akiva, who says you're not allowed to be mekayim kilayim. Nevertheless, we're going to allow you to be mekayim kilayim in order to be okerit. I mean that you can leave it around in order that you can destroy it or remove it. If that's the case, also be by Yayin Nesech, that approved to Rav Nachman's position. By Yayin Nesech, if you're getting paid to destroy it, the fact that you want it around so you can get paid for it, that's not considered a kiyum. Since you're in the process of destruction, process of destroying it, that's enough to make it mutar for you. Right now, next question in this group. Adur Yatvi, we come by Lo, they sat around and they asked the question. May avodat kochavim biyad obey kochavim mahu. The money of a sale of avodat kochavim, what's the din? So we know by us that avodah zara is tofis tamal. So if a Jew sells avodah zara, not only is the avodah zara problematic, but the money that he received, tachlif or chalipin for that, is also problematic. We quote a pasuk for it, so whether it's an asmachta d'rabbanan or d'oraisa, right, it sounds like d'oraisa, din d'oraisa, like by shvit, that is tofes d'maya, because there the Gemara said before, shnei tovim abayim ke'ed, chad, eim lamdin. So if that's the case, the Gemara wants to learn it as a din d'oraisa, that chalipin is a din d'oraisa. You could claim that it was an asmachta, but it seems to be that the Gemara is claiming that it is a din d'oraisa of chalipin. So now you have this din of chalipin that applies to a Jew. What's the story of a non-Jew? A non-Jew is trafficking in avodah zarah. Makes avodah zarah, sells it. The money that he receives in return for that avodah zarah, is that considered demei avodat chavim? Does that have a din in chalipin? What's the question? Mi tofeset demei biyad chavim? Olo. So I'm a little Rav Nachman again. Rav Nachman's the one answering. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam jumped on this and said, "Where's Rav Chir Ba'ami answering?" It's Rav Nachman answering again. Rav Nachman says, Says that logically it makes sense that it should not be a classification. There's no chalipin for a goy. Why? Because of this case that came before Rabbi Barvo. Amalo zilu zvino kol ma deitachu betu itgayru. Number of individuals came before Rabbi Barvo and they said, we want to convert. So he says, listen, you know, you guys have all this avodah zara, and whether they were merchants or whether they just happened to have it, and you want to sell it, listen, if you convert, it's all over. Because once you convert, you're a Jew, you can't traffic in this. Do me a favor, sell all this stuff before you are mitgayer, and then you'll have the bidmei over the chavim, and you won't have a problem, then be mitgayer afterwards. So when I say, it's my time, oh, why did he suggest this? Must mean that he believes there's no chalipin. Otherwise, what's the advice for? What's he giving him advice? Sell the avodah zarah and have dmei avodah zarah. It may have been the same problem. The fact that he says that shows that it's not a problem. Shiny autumn. Maybe it's different over there. Maybe over here the heter is because when we know he's going to convert, he's mevatel avodah zarah. We know that an obik chavim has the ability to mevatel the avodah zarah. So he could have been mevatel the avodah zarah, then sold it, and then it would be fine over here because it would not be dmei avodah chavim. The truth is that that doesn't work so well because the fact that if he sells it whole to another person who's buying it for the intent of worshipping it, there's no bittul over there. What type of bittul is it? Right, exactly. There's no bittul over here. So that's what the Tosfos asks. He says, "Vini koma di lechuvetu umash lo yom umer lohem levatla b'shvira yichol machra begerut ufishay etatam lechma shlema biyoker." Could have just told him to break it. He says, "No, I mean, then they won't get the full price for it." So he didn't want to do that. We said before, you sell it to someone who worships it, by definition, it's not batel. That's exactly what he's doing over here. They're selling it to people who worship it. Why is that not a problem? So shiny ocho came into the title, it's an amazing thing. Since they are giving mitgayer, you have mukhla milsa on two sides. You have mukhla milsa, he's selling it to people who worship it. So it is a bodhisattva, it's not a batel. On the other hand, they're going to be mitzgayer. So mukhla milsa, they really are mevatel the bodhisattva. That trumps in this case. In a normal case, we have an obik chavim selling it to those that are going to worship it. There's no bittul over there. Over here, that's not the case because, in our case, you have them being mitzgayer. When they're mitzgayer, we know for sure they're going to want to be mevatel the bodhisattva. So Ella, where's the proof? So that can't be the proof to Rav Nachman. Ella Miocha, here's the proof. Yisrael Sheyan Noshe Be'abodat Chochavim. He was a creditor to an Obi Chavim. Mane, the Obi Chavim owed him 100 zuz. Umachar Obodat Chochavim Ve'evi lo. Ne'yayin Nesach Ve'evi lo. So you know what the Obi Chavim, to pay him back, you know what he does? He sells some Avodah Zarah and he pays him back. Or he sells some Yayin Nesach and brings it back, gives him back to him. Mutar. If he says to him, listen, hold on there. You want your money back? No problem. Let me just go sell this avodah zarah and you can have your money back. Or, just hang around here for a minute. I'll sell this yayin esach and all the money's yours. There it's a sur. So now when the Gemara comes to the question of Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa ready, the Gemara wants to understand the Braita itself. There's an internal problem in the Braita. What's going on here? What's the difference between the Resha and the Seifa? But with regards to Rav Nachman, the Gemara is in the conclusion that he's right. It's clear from the Braita that Rav Nachman's right. Here, he's selling Avodah Zarah, paying back the loan. He's selling Yayin Nesach, paying back the loan. So that's not a problem. Right, so now we know from that's proof to Rav Nachman, no problem. But at least let's figure out what's going on in this break, though. What's the difference? That he wants it to stay around. The Jew wants the kiyum of the avodah zarah or the yayin nesach, because otherwise he's not getting his money back. Hey, when he wants to be kiyum in this type of instance, does that really also? But it's not. We have a mishnah gear vovek chavim shir shu aviem. They inherited their father vovek chavim, but their father is a non-Jew. So your father is a non-Jew, vovek chavim. They have two brothers here now. One converted, one did not convert. So gear yacholomar. So the gear is allowed to say when they come to inheritance. Tula tavirak chavim ani malt. You take the avodah zarah, I'm going to take the money. Tula tayyai nesach ani perot. You take the nesach, I take the perot. Im shabal the rishut agir. If they already come into his possession, a sword, then he can't. You can't retroactively try to redivide it if he already came into your possession. But what you see from here, which is what you were just saying, David, which is, you see from here that if it comes into his rishus, it's problematic. That means that it must be before he came into his rishus. But in the interim, does he want it to be mikayim? Of course, if the avodah zarah is not around, he's not getting his money. If the yayin nesach is not around, he's not getting his perot. So even though if it comes into his possession, it's problematic. Nevertheless, when he wants the kiyum, say no problem. So now, Amar Rava Barula Matnitan Bovadat Kochavim Hamitchaleket Lefish Vareah. That Mishnah that's talking about the division of the inheritance from the father who's an Ovid Chavim, it's talking about an Avodah Zarah that its component parts are valuable. So for instance, we're talking about gold and silver. You have a gold and silver idol, if you break it into its parts, the gold is still valuable and the silver is still valuable. So even if you break it, l'shvarea, it's still good. So Mara says, Tinach Avodah Chavim. That makes sense for Avodah Zarah. Yai Nesach, why you call it Meimar? What are you going to say about Yai Nesach? You can't break Yai Nesach into its component parts. So, Becheres Hadriani, yes you can, we got the Yai Nesach we had earlier in the Masechta, which is the pottery of Hadrianus. You remember that? That where they used to, which was worth money, even in its broken parts. They're shards. They are shards to start with. That's what they are. In this case, the suggestion was originally, we have a proof from this case by the inheritance that even Yotze B'Kiyumo is not a problem. The answer of the Gemara is that he doesn't Yotze B'Kiyumo. He doesn't care if the idol breaks into pieces. He doesn't care if the Yai Nesach breaks into pieces here because the component parts are valuable too. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Valo Yotze B'Kiyumo Shalei Gnovo Shalei Yavodu. What do you mean? Okay, he doesn't want it to breaking, you're right. But there are other factors. For instance, he wants the kiyum, he doesn't want it stolen or lost. The Gemara says, Elamra Papa Yushata Ger Kamart? You're talking about Yushata Ger, Shani Yushata Ger, Dakilu Barabonan, Gazamra Shemiakzo, the Kilkulo. Meaning that there's a big reason here. If we don't allow the Ger to inherit over here, he's gonna be, man, he could have a $1 million estate, a $1 million shekel estate that's coming to him. And he say, you know what, you can't take it, there's a Vodas over there. He's gonna say, listen, you know what, I'm going back for a little while, and then I'll join you a little later to be a Jew. No, we don't want that. We don't want him to put into a position where there's pressure for him not to remain a Jew because of the money involved. Say, but you should take care. Akilu bar Rabbanan, don't worry about it. But that's Akilu Rabbanan by Kiyumo. That's a din der Rabbanan by Kiyumo, that you're allowed to be, want the Kiyum of the item in order to protect yourself, that we do. But we don't say, by the way, is if it does come into his possession, that it's okay. There we don't say breira. We don't use this as, it's not a din derabbanan where we say breira. No, it's a din derabbanan that we're makil, if it doesn't come into his possession, that we allow him. If he wrote sevi kiyumo, that it's okay. So again, here you can't prove anything about Rotze B'Kiyumo from this Mishnah that we brought over here. Now, Tosos points out, in this case where he wants to pay the money back, he says that's only where the Goy has nothing else. But he says that's the only thing he can pay you back with. He says, but if he has other items to pay you back with, he just wants to sell the Avodah Chavim to pay you back, that's his choice, and you don't have to worry about it. He says, otherwise, you're going to come up with a situation, it's a great line at the end of Tosfos. Avim yesh lo arev, if he has a guarantor, first of all, if he has a guarantor, it's not a problem. Shechol yifrat mimakom acher, einu mei tero shel v'chavim mo'el et l'klum. The fact that he says something now doesn't make a difference. Why? Dim lo kein kol avodah chavim yuchol afkiah chavo miyad Yisrael. Every non-Jew has a way to get out of his loan. He says, hey, listen, buddy, I got some. There you go. I know some of what his art to sell, and don't worry, you just hang on and I'll pay you back. There goes the loan. He can't pay him back with the money. So that's obviously not the case here, but rather, it has to be a case where there's nothing else to claim from. If there's something else to claim from, this is not a problem in our case. Right, so we have Dami and Nami Hachiv, a price that supports this understanding in the Mishnah of Yerusha by the Ger, but Meir Darim Marim Shershu. That's only a case when they inherit. Al v'nishtatfu. If they make a partnership, asur, then it's asur. So what do you see from there? You see it's not a din in the division, it's a din in Yerusha. So din Yerusha, that's where they were makil. So then you don't have any proof that a rotze b'kiyumo is not problematic. If that's the case, then you can explain the bright Mishnah before, the bright before, that what was the difference in the ration? The Seifa is Rotze B'Kiyumo. When he's Rotze B'Kiyumo, we have a problem, because when he says, Emtein, wait for it, then you can't take it as repayment. Now then, if he just goes and sells it and gives it to you, we don't have a problem with Devei Avodah Zarah, that's Chalipin, and Chalipin don't exist by Avodah Zarah. So that's the answer of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, there's no Chalipin, there's no Devei Avodah Chavim by an Ovid Kuchavim. On the other hand, if he specifies that you must wait around for it, and then you're Rotze B'Kiyumo, that is a problem of Rotze B'Kiyumo. But again, that doesn't necessarily cause a problem for us before. We asked before, what about Rotze B'Kiyumo by Yai Nesech? Those are two different cases, because Rotze B'Kiyumo by Yai Nesech is a case where you're going to destroy it. That Rotze B'Kiyumo, Rav Nachman says, is okay. Over here, the Rotze B'Kiyumo is that he really wants it around. Not that he Rotze B'Kiyumo to destroy it. He Rotze B'Kiyumo because otherwise he's not getting his money. He's not getting what he needs out of the payment, either for the loan or for the case by Yushat HaGer when he originally introduced it. I mean, the Gemara rejected it, but there he wants it to get his money out of the Yerusha. So in those cases, that's a different type of Rotze B'Kiyumo than we asked the question before. One other thing Tosfos points out over here is that when the Gemara originally asked in Yerushat HaGer, what about the fact that he wants the Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, no, he doesn't care about the Avodah Zarah because he's going to break it into pieces. So fine, when you break it into pieces, that's Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So over there, then he, since he's willing to have it be broken and be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, when it's in its wholeness, he doesn't have to worry about it because he doesn't really want Rutzei B'Kiyumo. It's not really what he needs. On the other hand, by Yai Nesach, how do you say that? Rutzei B'Kiyumo means that he wants the whole piece that they're going to answer. It's Cheres Hadriani. Great. So if it's whole, but when it's broken into pieces, why does that change anything? Yai Nesach, there's no such thing as Bito by Yai Nesach. So why is the fact that he doesn't care it's broken into pieces help you that it's in one piece? Right, so Tosis answers something along your lines, but he says, "Shalish lo mar, the lom haya pashut em heter yain nesach yoter midme avodah chavim de chamira isura." Tosis says that the isur of yain nesach is not as strong as the isur of dme avodah chavim or avodah chamim itself, and therefore the Gemara was fine as long as once it breaks into pieces, he doesn't care about it. That's enough by yain nesach that we don't worry about it. But you don't need a physical, you don't need a bittul because you can't do a bittul by yain nesach. But by Avodah Zarah, which is much more chamor, we want something that really indicates some form of bittul over here. Right now, here we have the third question that they asked. The third question will carry us through the rest of today's daf and into tomorrow's daf, which is the question about a ger toshav. So, yatvu, other yatvu, they sat down, v'kimayilu, they asked the question. Ger toshav, ma'u shivatal avodah chachavim. Ger toshav, does he have the ability to be mevatal avodah zarah? We know already that a Jew cannot be mevatel avodah zarah. That's number one. Number two is we know that the avodah zarah of a Jew cannot be nitbatel. But we do know is that an oven chachavim can mevatel his own avodah zarah as well as other people's avodah zarah. What's the classification of a ger toshav? So that's what they want to know. Ger toshav mevatel the poloch mevatel the lo poloch lo mevatel. Is it dependent on worshipping the Avodah Zarah and not worshipping Zarah? If you do worship Avodah Zarah, then you can mevatel it. If you don't worship Zarah, then you can't. Odilma kol dava de bar minei mevatel. Or maybe anybody who is called a goy. Anybody who's an Ovid Chachamim can mevatel. Bahai bar minei hu. He doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, but he's still a... He's a goy. He's a goy. He can be mevatel Avodah Zarah. Now, Tosus points out, didn't we just have in Perek Rabbi Shmo, Perek Rabbi Shmo, we said, even a Jew could be mevatel Avodah Zarah. What was the reason? We had Omer Rava a number of times. What does Rava say? What's the reason a Jew cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? It's like it's a week ago Shabbos Daf. Why can't a Jew be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? Zegzera Shema, he'll be Yakdimena V'Inkachota. We're worried that he'll pick it up first and then try to be Mevatel afterwards. But what does that mean? From Iker Adin, a Jew could be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. What's the question by Ger Toshav? If a Jew could be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, certainly a Ger Toshav could be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So the Tosfos' answer is, that's only according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish over there. That whole opinion is according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, but Reb Yochanan disagrees in that case. Reb Yochanan disagrees, that's the Gemara's question. According to Reb Yochanan, who thinks that a Jew cannot, mi'ikar adin, mi'mevatel avodah zarah, what's the din of a ger toshav over here? So I'm with Reb Nachman, again, it's Reb Nachman answering. This is what presented the problem for the Rebbeinu Tam, and why he brings from the Gemara from Ketubot, which is, mistavro de poloch mevatel, de lo poloch lo mevatel. Logical argument is that someone who worships Avodah Zarah can be mevatel, doesn't worship it can't. Meitve, what are you talking about? Right? So Ger Toshav cannot, according to this. Meitve, how could you say such a thing? Right? We have Yisrael, Shematza Avodat Kachavim, right? We have the Tosefta, that Yisrael finds Avodah Zarah B'Shuk, Achlo Bat Liado, before he picks it up. Then, Omer Lo Berichamim Avatla, you can tell a non-Jew to be mevatel. Yishabat Liado, once he picks it up, in Omer Lo Berichamim Avatla, you can't tell the non-Jew to be mevatel, Bipnei Shamru. Because of this basic principle that we have, the Gemara brought this earlier, Ovid Chavim Mevatel, Ovid Chavim Shalom, Vishal Chavero. Ovid Chavim Mevatel, his Avodah Zarah, as well as his friend's Avodah Zarah. Ben Ovda, Ben Shein Ovda, whether he worships it or he doesn't worship it. Alright, so it says, my Ovda, or my Shein Ovda. What does that mean that he does worship it and he doesn't worship it? Ilema, Idiv, Idi, Ovid Chavim. Right, if they're both talking about people who worship Avodah Zarah, Hainu Shalom, Vishal Chavero. You already addressed that previously in the Braita, when you said, or the Tosefta, when you said that's his or his friend's. Allah Ovda Oved Chachavim. What does it mean? If someone worships it, that's an Oved Chachavim. Umayish Ein Ovda. What is it? If somebody doesn't worship it, that's a Ger Toshav. So you see from this Tosefta, it sounds like that a Ger Toshav can be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Shema Minat, Ger Toshav Minat Mevatel. I says, no, don't explain the Tosefta that way. Lo, the Olam, Eim Elucha, explain it to. Idi V'idi Oved Chachavim. We're talking about Oved Chachavim here. Ad Gamar, Tainu Shalom V'Shal Chavero. You said that he's allowed to be mevatel his Avodah Zarah and his friend's Avodah Zarah. So how's that different than someone who worships it, someone who doesn't worship it? No. Reisha, when Shalom, Shalom, Chavirah, Zeh Lepor, Zeh Lepor, Zeh Lemarkalus, Zeh Lemarkalus. Meaning that they both worship the same Avodah Zarah. But he has his own personal Po'or, and your friend has his own personal Po'or. So there, you can be mevatel your own Po'or. That's what the Goy can be mevatel his own Po'or. And he can mevatel his friend's Po'or. That he can do. That's Shalom v'shal Chaveiro. Now what's the case of Ovda and Ovda? Sefer Zela Po'or v'Zela Markus. This Goy worships the Po'or, but he can mevatel his friend's Markus. Even though he doesn't worship the Markus, he worships the Po'or. Nevertheless, it can be. So if you explain the Tosefta that way, we have no proof in the Tosefta against the conclusion of Rav Nachman that the only someone who worships the Avodah Zarah can be mevatelet. Now the Gemara goes on, Meitevei, Ezu Ger Toshav. What's a Ger Toshav? Please explain to me. You say that what a Ger Toshav here, you assume that we know what a Ger Toshav is. Well, please explain to me what a Ger Toshav is. So we have a three-way machlokas. Kol Shekibil Olah Bifnei Gimel Chavirim Shelo Lavod Avodah Zarah, Divi Rabbi Meir. The mayor says that a Ger Toshav is simply, he doesn't worship a Avodah Zarah. That's the only thing he has to do. Chamim Ramim, Kol Shekibel Olav Sheva Mitzvot, Shekibel Olav B'nei Noach. If he keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, then he's a Ger Toshav. Achirim Omrim. Achirim Omrim. Now, even though in general, Willa Gemara says that Achirim are Rabbi Meir, whenever the Mishnah uses Achirim, that's Rabbi Meir. Obviously, in this case, it's not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is explicit of his opinion in the Breita over here. So we know that's not Rabbi Meir. What are the Achirim? Elu lo ba'olich lo ger toshav elu. That these aren't, whatever you described over here is not a ger toshav. First of all, you chayav, everybody's chayav in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Why is it called a ger toshav? He keeps the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Every goy is chayav in not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So why is he called a ger toshav for doing what he's supposed to do? That's not called a ger toshav. Elezu ger toshav, ze ger ochel nevelot. So this is a ger who eats nevelot, meaning, shekibel alav lekayim kol mitzvot amurot b'torah. It's an individual who is keeping the entire Torah, chutz misur nevelot, except for the isur nevelot. So because of that, that's where the Torah tells you, give him nevelot, let him eat nevelot. Basically, he's keeping everything besides kashrut, it sounds like. He's keeping all Torah, he thinks the Torah is a good thing, he wants to keep everything that's laid out in the Torah. And that's good, except for isur nevelot. I'm assuming that also is excluding Shabbos. Ben Noach Shavat is chayav mita. So I have to do some aloha on Shabbos. Now, after we describe what a ger toshav is, the Baita gives us a din, which is, miyachtin etz lo yayin, you're allowed to leave wine with a ger toshav for short periods of time, ve'em afkidin etz lo yayin, but you cannot leave for long durations, you cannot leave wine with the ger toshav. Va'afilu bi'ir sheroba Israel. That's even in a city that's rov Israel, you can't leave it with him for long durations. Ava miyachtin etz lo yayin, but you can for short durations leave wine with him, afilu bi'ir sheroba avichavim. Even if the city is rov over the chavim. And then the last line of the Breita, Shmanoki, you know, his oil is like his wine. Right there, we're going to stop. That's the Breita. Now we have to explain here. We're going to look at the Rishonim for a second. What's the problem with leaving wine with a ger toshav? And why, if you only leave it temporarily, is that not a problem? So Rashi brings over here, why are you allowed to leave the wine with him? Came into Lo Palach, since his ger toshav does not worship Avodah Zarah, according to all three of the opinions here, he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Therefore, we don't worry about him touching the wine or being menasech the wine, because he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. So his touching of the wine is not going to be problematic. So we got rid of that problem. Next, what's the other possibility? That another Ovid Chachamim will come and touch the wine. So he says, well, he won't let him, Rashi says. Why is he going to let him do this? Somebody, another Ovid Chachamim comes into the house, wants to touch the wine. Lo chayshin, and came lo anabakach, enu menei choleigah. The goy gets nothing out of this. The ger toshav gets no benefit from this other goy coming touching his wine, so he's not going to let him come in and touch the wine. Ulach lufei bizman muat lecha lemeichash. And from here you hear what the the problem is according to Rashi. What's the problem over here? The problem is that we're afraid that the wine might get mixed up, or he might exchange this wine for his own wine. And the ger toshav is not going to be makbid to make sure it's the exact same wine that the Jew gave him that he gets back. So because of that, we worry about atele chlufe. He'll swap out the wine. And because of that, we worry. Now, in short durations, and that's what Rashi says, over short durations, we're not worried about le chlufe. He's not going to go swap the barrels out when it's just there for a couple minutes with him, when he doesn't know when you're coming back. Because then, there's mirtat, he has some sort of fear. But if you're mafkid it with him, if you leave him for long durations, then he has plenty of time to do the switching, and that's what we worry about here. So Rashi, according to this, says that the problem with the ger toshav is we worry about him swapping the wine out. Now his wine is, we're going to see in a second, problematic. So if his wine is problematic, then if he swaps out the wine, we have a problem here. That's according to Rashi what the difference is. We're going to see later in Tosfos that Rashi, this was not the original sheet of Rashi, and we have remnants of that other sheet in Rashi coming up in the next piece of the Gemara. So Gemara says, what does it mean at the end of the Braita when it says, Shmano ki yinyo? Shmano ki yinyo? Ksakadatcha, how can you say that? Shemin mika ave nesach? You're worried about his yayin, his nine nesach, fine. But how can you make his shemin, his oil, like his yayin? In shemin, does never, is not menesach. You're not menesach oil. So that's not a problem. There is no problem of nesach when it comes to oil. If that's the case, it should be mutar ba'ano. How could you ever suggest that his shemin should have the same din as yayin nesach? Elo yeno kishmano. The price has it backwards, the other way around. His yayin has a din like a shemen. Ah, what's the din of a shemen? Din of a shemen is that it's mutar ba'ana. It's osur ba'achila and mutar ba'ana. So too his yayin is also mutar ba'ana, but osur ba'shtia. Now Rashi points out that this bright that was written before they repealed or reversed when the Beis Din Rabbi Yehuda Nesia repealed the gezeira against shemen. Once they repealed the gezeira against shemen, then there was no problem of even eating the shemen. But on every other item, he has a din like a Obed Kochavim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you know Yayin Nesach. His Yayin is full-fledged Yayin Nesach. And some people say that it's totally Mutar B'Shtia. Now I think, I'm assuming that they mean in Rabbi Shimon's position, and this goes well with what we saw by Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we saw in the Gemara, that Rabbi Shimon, Tavola Bracha, because his opinion of Rabbi Shimon is either or. He doesn't have this middle ground where it can be Osur b'shtia umutar behana. So tavo brachot arosh. Right? Yenuchelo the Rav Shimon brachot. It was actually on the Daf Samach Amud Bet. That's what Rav Avada Baba says. Because either matir afilu b'shtia, shoser oser afilu behana. So you see that here in Rav Shimon's opinion. Either he thinks it's yenu nesach yai nesach, and it's also the gam, right? B'shtia no. Or v'amila mutar b'shtia, that it's totally mutar b'shtia. So Gemara says k'dani miha. But from this we see ulushar kol devarav ha'u kol bechachamim. It means that he's an Obed Avodah Zarah for everything else. What does that mean? What's halacha? What halacha is he an Avodah Zarah? He's an Obed Chavim for. I'll tell you what is it. The stance Obed Avodah Zarah, the fact that he can mevatel Avodah Zarah. That's a problem for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said before that he cannot be mevatel. Over here it sounds like he can be. So I'm Rav Nachman, he said, lo. You know what it is? I'll tell you what the din. We have a din of Avodah Zarah as somebody else. Itain reshut or levatel reshut. This has to do with din eruv on Shabbos. A din of an eruv on Shabbos is like you have to be ma'arev. This is eruv chatzerot. Chamim didn't want any place that has joint ownership in it. You're not allowed to carry from a private domain into an area that has joint ownership, even though it's not a reshut rabim. Mina Torah. Another thing that is a source to go from private domain to public domain, which is a reshut rabim. Joint ownership of a chatzer, for instance, a courtyard that's jointly owned, is private domain, min haTorah. That is a private domain. But the chamimur goes there, that you cannot carry from your house into a joint area, because personally I think, malihocha malihotam. He can carry out from his house into the courtyard, which is jointly owned, certainly he can carry out into the reshut rabim. So chamim made a gzera. But when they made the gzera, they also made a way to get around the gzera, or the takana, which is making an eruv chatzerot. What does the Eruv Chatzerot do? It says that we all join together to become a single owner of that property. We make it from joint ownership into single ownership. What happens in a case where they forget to do it before Shabbos? If they do it before Shabbos, they put food together in one of the houses, and then that house becomes the owner of the Chatzer, becomes a private domain. Fine. But what about they forgot to do it? So there, the Gemara in Erevin tells us that you can be a Mavato Yerushut. You can relinquish ownership, your ownership in the courtyard, to one individual. They can all relinquish their ownership to one individual, and then it becomes a single ownership over the courtyard. There, the Gemara tells us, and we're going to bring up right to now, that's only true of Jews who are Shomer Shabbat. If you're Shomer Shabbat, you can relinquish control. If you're not Shomer Shabbat, you cannot participate in an Eruv that way. You have to buy his property, you have to buy his rights out. Ketanyo, Yisrael Mumar, Mishamer Shabbato B'Shuk. We have an Yisrael Mumar, means that he doesn't keep the Torah, he doesn't keep Shabbos, but in public he keeps Shabbos. But Sinai, he doesn't keep it, but publicly he does. Mevatel Reshut, he has a right to relinquish his control and be part of this Eruv. She'ein Mishamer Shabbato B'Shuk, someone who is Mechal Shabbos before Yesia, ein Mevatel Reshut. There he can't be Mevatel Reshut. Neish, Amru, Yisrael Notein Reshut to Mevatel Reshut. A Jew, give over his property or Mevatel his rights and the property relinquishes his rights. When it comes to a non-Jew, actually score until he rents for it. For a non-Jew, you have to actually rent the property. what's the din of a mumar, the shchalo Shabbos b'frayatzia? He has a din like a goy. If he has a din like a goy, he can't be mevatel reshut. So that's the answer. The answer is this ger toshav. What do you mean he has a status of Ovid Avodah Zarah? He has a status of Ovid Avodah Zarah that he can't be mevatel reshut. If he owns a portion of the chatzer, if he's one of the parties that is a joint owner of the chatzer, unless you buy his rights in the chatzer, you can't have him just relinquish his rights to the chatzer. That doesn't work for Eruv or Eruv Chatzerot. The problem that comes up today, other than Eruvin, which is that if you have non-Shomer Shabbos people inside the Eruv, or in Chutz Laaretz you have Goyim, you have non-Jews inside of the Eruv, then how do you make it? How can you create an Eruv that has single ownership? So we do that, they use the figures, they use eminent domain, they use ways, they buy it from the city. The city's rights to that property they buy, and that eliminates the problem, but they do have to purchase it. It's not enough that they say, we don't mind, so you can have an Eruv. That's not enough. You have to actually purchase the rights from non-Shomer Shabbat, or from those that are Ovdei Kochavim. So how do you do this? Ketzad, Omelei Rishuti Knuyelach. How do you do this? And either he says, my Rishut is given over to you, or Rishuti Mubetelelach. I relinquish my control, go ahead and take possession of it. Vein Tzarech L'Zkot. He doesn't actually have to take Zkut. He doesn't have to actually take possession of it. It's enough that they just relinquish control and say, take control of it, or he offers it up to him. That is enough in this case. We're going to stop here, the Gemara. There is one other item that I wanted to mention, which is that what Rashi says about Yain Nesech, De'enu Makpid al-Magal Ben Chachavim, that he's not Makpid that a non-Jew will touch it. It's not that he's problematic in touching it, according to this, but rather he's not worried, he allows non-Jews to touch it, other Goyim to touch it. Wait a minute. Rashi previously said that he doesn't allow Ovid Chachavim to touch it. What happened here in Rashi? So you'll see in Tosfos says over here, it's the last Tosfos in the Amud, that Rashi had, there were two different explanations in Rashi. It says, Perish Rashi, לפי שאין מקפיד על מגל ורחבים. יקשו רבן אותם על זה. תמכן אפילו יחי נמי לפי שעה. Should be problematic.
Meaning that if you think that an Ovid Chachamim can come and touch the wine, then why is it okay to leave it to him for short durations? Not in long durations. Even short durations, a non-Jew could walk in there and touch it. So because it's definitely a case where he's telling him he's leaving for a certain amount of time. If he leaves him for a certain amount of time, then he knows that in that time a goy could walk in and do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to worry about the Jew coming back. Because if he doesn't know when the Jew coming back, then there's a mirtad aspect and it doesn't work. So dachen yirala reino tam, this is very interesting, kamosha perish Rashi, b'igia b'perushim shelo. The way that Rashi says, and Rashi changed it. Umachakatam, lefi sheinu makbid v'katav. Rashi erased that reason and wrote, ein makbidim lezman meruba. That the real reason is that he worried about the exchange, that he'll swap out the wine. Ketani Seifa Yeno Kishmano. Benirish Rashi Chazor Bo Mitam Rishon. That Rashi reversed his original position. And then he mentions, like we have in our Rashi, that he says that he doesn't worry about a goy coming in because he gets no anah from it. He's not going to leave that. Then Tosos backs up and says, we can explain the Yashay Perish Kuchas Arishon. Even though Rashi changed his mind, maybe we could still explain the first position of Rashi, that when it's in his house, there's a difference. Depends whose wine it is. The Ger Toshav's wine, he is makpid that a goy doesn't touch it. He doesn't want a goy to touch it. But the Jew's wine that's in there, there is not makpid to watch over the Jew's wine. And he says, if you want to touch my wine, no way. Don't come and touch my wine. But when it comes to the Jew's wine, there he will let him touch it. And then the last thing here, we say, Avel Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Re said, you can leave with him wine temporarily. Even a city that's Rabbi Chachamim, perish the mutter magol b'shtiyah. If a ger toshav touches the wine, it's not only is it mutter b'anah, it's mutter b'shtiyah. More than Rashi was willing to say it's mutter b'anah, it's still a sur b'shtiyah. Here, the Re went even one step further. That if a ger toshav touches it, it's totally mutar b'shtiyah the gamrei. And therefore, in a case, katav Rabbeinu Yehuda, maseiya b'ger echad. It was a ger shemal v'lo tava. The Ra'i, in Mila, no tefila. V'amai b'beit Yisrael yamim rabim. He was living in a Jew's house for many years. V'nog abiyeno, he touched all his wine. V'etiro rabinu Yitzchak v'shtia. Says he can even drink it. Ki perushav, the ger toshav, magol mutar. This person is no worse than a ger toshav. And a ger toshav who touches the wine, it's mutar v'shtia, according to Rabbeinu Yitzchak. It sounds like he was mal, but lo taval tefillah ki ra'oi. I said that man went to a mikveh, there was a problem. It sounds like there was some problem with the tefillah. Koshkin zeh shemal v'kibel av mitzvah. This guy, he has kabbalat mitzvah. He has mila. Certainly over here we can say that his touching of the wine is not going to make it also b'shtia. So even though we said earlier that avadim and b'nei shvachot, that maluv lo tavlu, they make yayin esech, That's because, that's the distinction Tosafot made there, that's because they're doing it because of the fear of their master. So they're not really mekabel. Here, he did it on his own volition. It's clear that he intended to be mitgayer, so we don't worry about it. And also, we said before that when geirim, so mal v'lo tovo, when they get married, their children are considered mamzerim. Over there, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan l'shitatei, they're mamzerim. They don't have a full status of Jews, but nevertheless, when it comes to the touching of the wine, they're like a ger toshav. Shel sofrim, and the last thing he says is the din d'rabbanan, halecha charam mekil b'stam yinam b'shtia. They should say, stam yinam is mutar b'shtia, v'hu adin b'magam, and certainly with their touching. V'afilu l'nishna d'kamar, even according to Lashon here in our Gemara, it says, yinam kishmanam, that the yin is like the shemen, ayinu mishum chadnut. That's a problem because we don't want intermarriage, but that's not a problem of drinking it. If he touches the Jew's wine, we're not going to be makpid. After all that, he didn't want to be makil in the end. He wasn't so comfortable in just generally saying that it should be okay. All right, we'll stop over here.